But let me share with you how that I got what I'm going to preach to you today. I have been doing something different, and I encourage you to do that. If you are reading the same Bible that you've had for years and years and years, you probably, if you are one that will mark it and underline or circle or highlight or put points out, or I've got all kinds of stuff. I've done arrows, circles, all kinds of things. I would encourage you to get a new Bible, to read it, because our mind will focus on a highlight or an underlined thing, and God may want to speak something to you different than what you've highlighted. How many of you have read a scripture before and over again and got something different the second time? See, that's the difference of all the books that are in the world, because this is life. And there's many translations, and I don't get hung up on, you know, where we're from in Kentucky. Lots of people there think that there's no other Bible but the King James Version Bible, and that's it. If that's you, that's fine. But I found this, and this is great, the Bible translation, many translations. So we'll speak about food, and here's one translation. The Message Bible will say this: Mama, I'm hungry. The Amplified will say this: Mommy, I'm hungry, famished, starving. That's Amplified. They amplify it. In the New Living Translation, that's what I like, is this down point. It says, Mom, I'm hungry. All right? In NIV, it says pretty much the same thing, but it uses words like, Mother, I'm hungry. But then in the King James, it says this, and this is why I personally don't like to read it. Henceforth, let it be known, birth giver, that my belly consisteth of emptiness. Now, you are laughing because you can understand that a little bit, and I, you know. But so I want to encourage you to read different things. And as I was doing that, I usually go along with you all on your Bible reading. But I decided to do something a little bit different myself. And so I have a Bible reading program that I do. And I usually do a morning, and I do an afternoon, and I try to do an evening. And then I got this new Bible that I got, and it's called the Wayfinding Bible, and there's different reading plans in it, and I love it. It's a great, great Bible if you're looking for one. But during the storms and our thunderstorms and things that happen in life, and I read a story the other day of a church that there was a bad thunderstorm that happened. And in this bad thunderstorm, the church was struck by lightning, and it set on fire. And firemen, we have a couple of some firemen here today, I see. And it set on fire, and the crowd, they began to overlook and began to look and would gather around as the fireman was battling to save the structure. And in the crowd, there was a man that lived in the community for many, many years. And even though he had been invited to church many, many times, the pastor had never seen him at the church. So suddenly the pastor, the man came to church. And the pastor looked at him and said, "Hey, this is the first time I've seen you at church." And he said, Why are you here?" And he said, "Because this is the first time I've ever seen the church on fire before." Now, I'm going to say this. The church is not the building. The church is us. And when we think about the church and what he's doing, and see, many people will jump in cars and in their trucks, and they will follow a fire truck just to see what is on fire. Now, I know you're all in the South, but how many of you have ever just seen a fire truck and followed the fire truck to the fire? Anybody? There's one honest person. Everybody else says, "I'm not nosy, Brother Kenny." But how many of you would follow an ice truck? Not very many people. Someone back here said, "I'll follow the ice truck. It gets hot down here in Georgia." But see, it comes to what our thinking is. And I'm going to give you the first scripture. Look at this first scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, as I was doing my Bible study and what I was doing, I'm doing a New Testament reading through the Bible again. And then I have my other thing on here that I'm doing this Bible. And so something sparked in me to read Acts. And I began to read Acts, and something stirred in me, as you would see miracles take place. As even Peter, that he walked, and when he walked,
his shadow would heal people. And then I saw where Paul was transformed, and that Jesus Christ spoke to him, a voice spoke to him, and he was persecuting Christians. He was on his way to put Christians in jail. He was on his way to even murder Christians. He was on his way, and he even held people's coats that were stoning Christians to death. And so this is Paul, and he had an encounter. He had an encounter with God, and so he had to change his mindset because he was brought that where Christian that wasn't a true religion, and this wasn't right. So look at this next scripture. So, dear, in Romans chapter 12, and if you don't have these, if you're watching online or if you're here, you can get it. Clint has it. There's online, and it's going right, so you can follow right along. And if you need it later, just go and take notes, whatever you need to do. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says this. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Listen to this. Don't copy the behavior of the behavior and the customs of this world. Everybody say amen. Amen. But let God transform. Transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? Think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. In the Amplified, which I don't read very much, I have some of my friends, I don't read the Amplified because I'm not the fastest reader. And it seems like it's just long. It amplifies it and goes, all those things. But in the Amplified, it says, I appeal to you. And it says, Paul says, I beg you. I beg you. And you know, the way I've been taught in my Christian life and what I've read, you know, there's many scriptures, but we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know what we have in Jesus. We need to stand firm. We need to stand strong and be a part of church like this church and Believers Church here I'm in Georgia. I looked back there and saw Chris, and he's like, oh, Alabama. And in Georgia, we need to stand strong in what we believe. We need to stand strong and say, you know what? This word of God is what I'm going to stand on. And this mind that I have inside me has got to start thinking the way God wants us to think. Now, I'm going to title this morning, Spiritual Thinking versus Worldly Thinking. And if you think about things in life, and when tragedy comes, or when a life issue comes, and something happens to you, how many knows the first thing we do is sometimes, let me ask this question, have you ever been in church, and everything's going well, and praise and worship's going well, and then all at once a thought comes to your mind that doesn't go with church? Come on. Most of you don't raise your hand or line. But why do we do that? Did you ever just like, where did that thought come from? How come, like, you know, and then you start, you throw out the Pentecost church, you thought, full God, man, get, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Start throwing out all this. Start slapping out tongues. Start laying hands on yourselves, hitting yourself in the head. Get out of there. But see, when our thoughts, when we think about thoughts, when our thinking and believing and our speaking becomes synchronized, when our thinking, believing, and speaking becomes harmonized, when it's in harmony, when it's in unison with God, when it's in unison with the Holy Spirit, then we begin. That's the first part, that when you first get saved, you got to change your thinking. You got to change the way you think. Because, see, all of your life, you've been thinking worldly. When bad things happen, you want to respond. Listen to this. You want to respond the way the world does. Why is that? Because that's what you've seen. You've seen the world respond that way. And because the world responds that way, you want to, well, I've got to respond that way. So when we think about that and we get in unison, we will begin to receive, and then we will begin to enjoy the blessings that God gives us. Listen to this. We got to let the Holy Spirit focus on an encounter. This is what happened to Paul. He had an experience with God, and an experience is good, but and he did have an experience, but he had an encounter. How many knows there's a difference in experience and encounter? And when you have an experience of something in life and something happens to you and you experience some things, and when God comes in and we allow God to let us have an encounter with Him, He will change our thinking. He will change our mind. He will change the way we think, and we won't respond the way the world responds. Now, I'm going to get personal here. How many of you ever responded in anger? Now, listen, I want you everybody, how many responded? Put your hand up. How many of you responded? Now, everybody look around real quick. Now, why did I do that? Because you ain't the only one. That's one of the first things that the devil will lie to you and tell you, well, look, you a heathen. You no good for nothing. You messed up. You ought to just run and hide. See, that's where the thing we're faced with this pandemic that's going on. The devil is trying to isolate us. And we've got to change our thinking. Come on. Change our thinking. He's trying to isolate, put you in a corner. Did anyone ever get in trouble and get put in a corner in school? Now, the reason I preach to you these things, and I can raise my hands, because I've experienced them. I've had encounters. Some serious encounters. I got voted in high school when I was a senior in 1982. Best natured, but most mischievous. Best natured, most mischievous. Imagine that. And they took a picture of me and the other lady, her name's Kathy Flocker, of having knives, I got one in my pocket, cutting a tire. Now, I didn't cut the tire that time. But I was mischievous in school. We played jokes, but I was good natured about it. One joke that I'll never forget we played, one of our friends got a new car. We thought it would be cool to go outside and jack the car up, put blocks under it, and take the tires. And when they come out of school, they saw their car like, oh, my gosh, who done that? And we're all over there looking like, ah, that's funny. I'm good natured about it, but he was not. So we have encounters. We have things that we go through. And so Saul had heard the teaching of Christianity, but he desired to exterminate them. He desired to get away with them. But he had an encounter, and that encounter with Jesus Christ changed him. And listen, it changed him so much that even God changed his name from Saul to Paul. Y'all can read this in Acts later if you need help and know where it's at. Listen, there is too much of the world's view in the church today. See, we all want to have our opinions. God does not conform to our views or opinions. Here's what he does. We are to conform to his view. We are to conform to his mind. Matter of fact, it says we are to get the mind of Christ. And so when I thought about this, and I thought about the storm that we just went through in Kentucky and other states around us, and people are devastated. And I would watch on Facebook, and I would see people, someone's going to get mad at me here in just a minute. They would get mad. There's no daggone milk left. There's no bread left. And I saw people freaking out, getting mad. Where's all the bread? It's at the bakery. The bakery can't get it to the store because there's ice. Where's the milk at? It's in the cow. The cow's in the barn now because it's ice. And they're freaking out. People are getting mad. I saw people get mad because they didn't scrape the roads. It's ice. No one can hardly get out. My brother-in-law works for the county. They were having a hard time even getting going anywhere. And they've got chains and all this stuff. And people were getting frustrated. And I can understand that to a degree. But you know what? They have the news channel today. Listen to it. Find out if it's going to snow. And if it is, here's a revelation for you that gripe and complain and give your opinion on Facebook. Thus saith Kenny. Go to Storeth and buy you some breadeth to eat and wash it down with your milk if you don't have a cow in the barn. People get so frustrated. I mean, and then you would see other people that were without electricity. We were blessed that we didn't lose electricity. We were blessed because my good friend, the Sims, gave us a gas fireplace a few years ago. And every time I light that, here's what I do. Light it, turn it on. My wife is in her blanket. My beautiful, pretty, precious wife, she's over there. I said, oh, and we go, thank you, Lord, for the Sims family. For this heat that we got. And then I go upstairs because it's too hot. But see, it's our opinions, it's our thinking, because we want to think like, we want to gripe, we want to complain. See, listen, people's opinions and making comments on things that they don't even know about. And sometimes we do that in a church. We don't know the word. We got to think like, we got to put the mind of Christ on. We didn't get this worldly thinking out of the church. And we've got to understand this. And listen to me. We've got to understand that we can actually read the Bible and get the mind of Christ. How easy is that? We can actually read this Bible and get the mind of Christ. Let me just challenge you. Jump on with Believers Church and get on their Bible reading program. Start today. Okay? This is a plug for them, and he didn't tell me to do it. Don't worry about starting where they started January 1. Pick up today. And for 30 days, try 30 days. And if you can't, and you think you can't do 30 days, set a lower goal and say, I'm going to do 1 week. If you think you can't do 1 week, say 2 days. Or do one. And you focus on that scripture and say, Lord, I want to have the mind of Christ. I guarantee you it will change you. And it will get easier the next day. And when you miss a day, you'll think, oh, and listen to me, it does not take long when you don't do what God wants you to do for you to get off track. All right? Listen to that. Listen, what we believe is a result of our thinking. And if we think wrong, we will believe wrong. All that happens in our life hinges on how we think. Hinges on what we believe. Hinges on how we speak. So let's look at this next scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, it's Proverbs. Proverbs 3:5. Look at this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In the New Living Translation, back up one more. In the New Living Translation, it says this: For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can know them? Who knows enough to teach him? But look at this. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ in Corinthians. We have that mind of Christ. And see, when we think about this in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, we have that mind of Christ in us. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. I want to back up just a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5 says, casting down imaginations. What's that? That's reasonings. Cast them down. When the enemy tries to get, you're trying to think spiritual, but then the enemy throws in these worldly thoughts, well, you got to cast down those imaginations. It says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You want to know when it's a devil thought? If it exalts yourself, it's a devil thought. If it exalts God, it's a God thought. That's an easy way to find if we have the mind of Christ. And then it says, and bring into captivity every thought thinking to the obedience of Christ. So we got to bring into captivity. We got to, what's that means? We captivate it. We get it, and where do we get it? We get it in our mind, we get it in our heart, and in our heart, when I say heart, that means in our spirit, that when something happens, something bad happens, you don't just rise up and lose your cool, and I'm going to say the way you say it, curse whoever you're mad at. Come on, you're all getting real, real quiet. Because, see, we're trying, you know, that made me, they made me, I'm just going to give it to them. And then you'll even say this, that's okay, God will forgive me. I was going to give it to him anyway. But we've got to have the mind of Christ. We've got to get that. See, the only way we can have the mind of Christ is to study his word, is to believe in our heart, and then we got to act upon it. Look what Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this. I love this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thought. One final thing. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true, on what is honorable, on what is right, on what is pure, on what is lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Lord, you're worthy of praise. Everything inside you are worthy of praise. So I got two quick thoughts here I'm going to give to you. Look at the first one. Carnal thoughts. When we think carnal thoughts, I put in my notes, devil, fleshly thoughts. That's outside of ourself. And when evil thoughts or carnal thoughts, or I use the word natural, but your pastor said maybe we ought to use a different word. And when we think, and what happens is that because we are used to being in the world so long, that those natural thoughts become natural in you. And when something happens, we think that same way. Or we have seen someone respond that way in the world. Now, I'm going to ask this question. How many of you have seen somebody go through something and you watch them and it don't faze them? They just said, I'm just trusting God. I'm just believing God. And then you look at them and say, how can they do that? How can someone lose their job and trust God? How can someone go through a divorce like that and just trust God? How can someone go through that lost a loved one to whatever and just, I'm just, it's going to be okay? Now, it doesn't mean they're not hurting. It doesn't mean that they're not going, but they are standing, they have the mind of Christ. How many can say, hey, that's me? See, that mind, that things that's going, and we want to think worldly thoughts. But see, that's the devil. But here's the God part. Look at this second part. God thoughts. God thoughts are spiritual. God thoughts are love. God thoughts are you can make it. God thoughts are you're going to get through. God's thoughts are I'm going to help you. I'm going to send you everything you need to help you. But we've got to get our mind right. For you guys that played ball and girls that played sports, and listen, how many times your coach come in there in the locker room, get your mind right, guys. Come on, girls, get out. We're going to cheer. Get your mind right. Come on. I know some of you men saying, that's not really sports. It is. My sister could flip across the whole daggone gym. I couldn't do it. But I can knock someone through the wall. I ain't going to try it. I tried a couple times, and that's maybe why I've got a bad knee. But our spiritual thoughts, our thoughts have to, look at this, our confession will either imprison us or it will set us free. Our confession is a result of our believing, a result of our right thinking compared to wrong thinking. Look at this, Philippians 2, 13. I'm getting ready to close. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. See, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He will convict,
convict. And it doesn't come until, listen, it doesn't come until we hear the word of God. The Bible says that God ordained that man should be saved through the preaching of the word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, look at this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse 14. And he says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells him? That goes back to the foolishness of preaching. Some people ask me all the time, say, Kenny, why in the world do you travel all of this area? And I said, because God's called me to do what I do. It's not always easy, especially in this pandemic frame. I'm preaching today. I don't have anything scheduled again until June. Now, people's like shoot, here's worldly thinking. I'm going to show you worldly. Y'all can come to instruments if you want to. I'm going to get ready to close. Here's worldly thinking. Oh, my gosh, Kenny, what are you going to do? Are you going to make it? What's going to happen? I got a revelation for you. My faith and trust and hope is not in man. It's in God. And I don't know how, but he's always made a way. I can't understand it. I can't figure it out. He's always done it because my thinking is right. All right? And I'm not sitting up here telling you things that I have sometimes my thinking was wrong, because it has been. Come on. Too much of the time we just want to get blessed in church. So we pray, Lord, send people in. Lord, you just get out and save the people. But listen, the truth of the matter is it's our responsibility. We have the Holy Spirit to help us to get people to church, to help us get people saved, to help us do the work of God. But unless you are willing to do the work, that's why I so encouraged yesterday about the men and men getting together. I don't know how many were there, 40-plus men that were there, having a great time, just enjoying things like men like to do. I saw people fishing. Some was hanging around the campfire. Some was just talking. No one was playing cornhole. I think they saw me in town and they were afraid. But when we think about things in life and our thinking, I'm going to give you just a couple more things here. We can feed our cloud of doom. Listen to this. And we shorten just a little bit. What are we going to choose? We can feed the cloud with carnal thinking, or we can choose thoughts of faith. We can choose thoughts of speaking faith words. We can lead, listen to me, we can lead the heart of, and we can have a heart that's maybe we've been defeated, we can go into victory. We can say, God, I see a victory. How do we do that? Our thinking. It starts right here. It starts in our thinking. And I'm going to say one last thing. Thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words will lead us the heart out of defeat straight into victory. Straight into victory. And how do we do that? Get the mind of Christ in this word. Get the mind of Christ in this great pastor, and he'll help you, encourage you. Get the mind of people in this church that will help you and encourage you. Listen, don't give up. Don't ever give up. If you fail, get back up. I don't care what anyone else says about you. It's important what God says about you. And when we get to know the thoughts of God, we will know when we fail, he's going to get us back up. Because he's a God that never fails. But see, so many times people have that thought, well, I failed. I failed God. I messed up. I sinned. I done this. Listen to me. He says, I'm there for you. And he will pick you up every single time. And he'll help you. Y'all stand with me this morning. I hope that helped you. I hope I gave you some things. I've got some more that I could preach, but I hadn't preached for a little bit, and so I even had to reduce some of this down because I've only got so long to preach. Wish I could stay here for a long time and preach with you. Y'all bow your head and close your eyes. I want no one looking around this morning. I'm going to ask this question first off. Is there anyone here the sound of my voice? What I've done today is I've preached you the Word of God. And if you are here and you're not a Christian and you want to be a Christian, here's a way to do that. First step is you need to say, Lord, I've sinned. Second step is, Lord, I'm trusting you to forgive me of my sins, and I'm making you my Lord. If that's you, would you lift up your hand and say, Kenny, I want you to pray for me. I see that one. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see that hand. You may put it down. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray with them as a corporate prayer this morning. Lord, I pray for them, and right now where they're at, in their seat, as they're standing there, Lord, they confess their sin. They don't have to say every sin they've ever committed. All they have to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I come to you, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And Lord, you're going to forgive them. And Lord, they will make you Lord of their life. Forgive me, Lord. Watch over me, protect me, and bring me into your kingdom because you are King in Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find someone from Believers Church. They'll have a tag on, or they'll have a little badge on. I want you to find them, and they will help you. They will encourage you. They'll give you some other stuff. Now let's go to the second part.